Good morning. Good morning. So this morning I'm continuing on the theme of standing on the shoulders of giants, and we're looking at legacy as we rapidly move towards our 100th year anniversary. You know, we're here today, we've got to remember our history and thank God for his faithfulness, because we're here because of that one man who stood on the town hall steps. Would you have done that? Stood on the town hall steps and then stepped out in faith to start a church. I mean, that took some courage, didn't it? And then, you know, I was thinking yesterday, actually, and I came to this church 40 years ago this year when I was 13. So I'm 53 this year, getting old, but 40 years ago. And there's so many people, as I look back over my journey, that started at Crawford Street in that hut, sort of down the road, and there was 100 of us packed in. And then again, God spoke to the elders and Ian at the time and said, no, I want more. And they had this prayer for over this land and this church, and how we're here today because of another men who are standing forward for their courage. And I just want to honour that faithfulness of people over generations, particularly men who've stood and prayed and been faithful in that. And I just wanted to show an image of yesterday's. I came in yesterday after making the bacon butties at home and brought them in. And this is a picture of our men yesterday. And when I walked in, they were singing... what I was singing now, it's gone from my mind, but there was a real presence of God in that place. And then we shared bacon butties after, and the men were blessed. But you know what? When I first came to Crawford Street, there was a core of men who used to meet and pray, and that continues and is faithful over generations. You know, and I know that Richard is blessed by the same people that come month after month after month, but his heart's desire is that there's more men there. You know, as Jordan said this morning, you know, we want to be where God's presence is. God's presence was tangible yesterday in that room when I walked into that life centre. You know, maybe you want to see revival in Bolton, in Bury, of the places all around. You want to see revival in your family. You want to see generational things broken and that not continue to the next generation. Men particularly come and meet together in God's presence at those prayer breakfasts. Next month we're having sausage sandwiches, if that can encourage you. But you know, we want to be people, don't we, that long to be in God's presence, to look in his wonderful face and to see things and lives change. We want to see revival. We don't want to stand still. We want to see revival, don't we? You know, what does the Bible say about legacy? You know, and the Bible emphasizes a life of prayer, a life of faith, our characters to be changed in obedience to God. You know, and leaving a legacy means to impact people positively, you know, and guiding generations for the future. You know, there's so many examples of legacy in the Bible, isn't there? But what struck to me is Mary. You know, I couldn't get away from Mary, the legacy of Mary. You know, that simple child and childlike faith to say yes to God. Of Joseph to be faithful and humble, to stand by her and to birth Jesus. And then we know where that ends, don't we? That we are here because of Jesus. I love Jesus and we're here because of that. You know, and we can look at all those different stories in the Bible of Ruth, of Esther, of Abraham. But today I just wanted you to hear about a real life person that's left a legacy. So I love Dave. Dave is very much part of our family at the Bridge and at Bridge Horwich, but very much of our personal family as well, and his lovely wife, Mary, who's passed. And I wanted him to share about her legacy and about her life today so we can sort of really bring that up to date. So let's welcome Dave, and I'll be back in a bit.
Morning all, morning. Well, this is novel. I think I'm more comfortable behind a Nord keyboard than I am behind a lectern, but there you go. It's lovely just to be here on a Sunday, because normally I am up at Horwich, and although I love it up there and I'm part of it, and Mary was part of it, because I play up there as well in the Rota, it's just lovely to be down here and to remember. It's quite some time since I was here, and what a joy to sit at the front and listen to the band and be led in worship. So thank you for that, folks. It's absolutely great. Well, as we go about our daily lives, we meet people, don't we? Sometimes it's just a quick checkout at the supermarket and we see the person operating the till, and sometimes we interact with them just a little bit, and sometimes it's more a longer time than others, and they leave an impression on us even just in that little short time. You could call it a mini legacy. And sometimes the impression that they leave with us, according to how they were, might be, oh, you know, I'd love to spend some more time with that person because they make me feel better and it's good being with them. And then, of course, sometimes it can be a bit more towards the, oh, thank goodness I managed to get away from them quickly. And you hope that that's not the impression we might be leaving with them, because we'd have to think about the challenge of how we treat other people, even in those little, little short things that happen to us. Well, we talk about legacy, and sometimes we think about legacy as being, you know, giving wealth to people when someone's passed. But of course, what we're talking about is a much more personal legacy. And I think you could say a legacy is the memory that someone leaves behind on other people. And if you put it another way, it's the impact that remains long after they've gone. Well, Anna asked me to talk about Mary's legacy. Well, or Mary, as so many people knew her. We were married for 25 years. I knew her for 30 years. And it was a love story, a lovely love story. And you'll hear little bits about it, and some of it in Mary's words as well, because she wrote things there. So here we go. I think legacy can be a bit like a chain, and there's links in the chain, and all the links make a strong chain, and they go on a journey. And our interactions with people is like one link in the chain. And so Mary would never have been the person. Let me explain what I mean in terms of Mary. Mary would never have been the person that she became. Obviously, not according to the Lord, but in human terms, she would never have become the person that she was if she hadn't been influenced by lovely Christian people from this church. I could mention Lynn and Phil Stott. They, in her very early days, when she hardly knew anything about the Christian faith, they would pray for her, pray with her, minister to her, spend time with her. And as a result of that, the four of us became great friends. And the three of us still are, and we enjoy that. But that was just one couple. But I want to focus on another couple, and that is Arthur and Margaret Smith. Now, some of you might not know either of those now, because Arthur died some years ago, and he was an elder of this church for many years, very faithful. And I want really to explain about Arthur and Margaret. When Arthur died in 2019... Mary felt as though she wanted to write something about Arthur and Margaret. And I've got a feeling she delivered it from this platform about 5 years ago, but I could be wrong on that. And so part of what I'm going to talk about is Mary's words about Arthur and Margaret. And you'll see the connection and what this is all about as we go through it. I might keep chipping in just to explain something that Mary might say, and you wouldn't be quite sure what she meant. So I'll put it in context. So here we go. Hello, I'm Mary. So you can tell her words, can't you? I just want to share a few words about how much Arthur and Margaret did for me. I met Margaret, Arthur's wife, in 1990 in a house group, and we became friends. And that friendship is still as lovely today. Now, I have to put that one in context. Mary had recently been married, not to me, and her husband was abusive, controlling, and a gambler, and they were in debt, and Mary was not in a good place. She had no time for the Christian faith whatsoever. She wanted a drink of alcohol, and she hadn't got any money. So she thought, if she could find a party and she could gate crash, that'd be a free drink. So she went looking in midweek in Harwood at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a party. Well, I ask you, what were the chances of that? Anyway, somebody up there was working, because she saw a lot of cars parking outside a house and people going in, knocking on the door and going. She thought, that's the party, that's it. So she knocks on the door. She hasn't got a clue whose house it is. Can I come in? You'd have expected someone to say, get lost. But this person said, yeah, come on, in you come, you're welcome. And Mary gets in and they're all having a drink of tea. So that didn't go down very well. And then she suddenly realises she's walked into something that she doesn't understand. It was one of our life groups from our church. And that's what she'd walked into. And one of the people, she managed to stick it out through it, even though she didn't believe a word of it. And she was quite anti some of the stuff, given the background, which we'll come to in a bit. And so there was a lady there, and that was Margaret Smith. and she was part of the little group. And Margaret befriended Mary just in that little time, and she started talking to her. And Margaret's never short of coming forward. I mean, very brave, I think. I'm not sure I could have done it the first time I meet someone. So by the end of the afternoon, Margaret said to Mary, she said, do you want a relationship with Jesus? And Mary, classic, said, I'm no good at relationships. Which was absolutely, you know, absolutely correct. So I'll read on now. So that was the house group context, that Mary didn't know she was going to it. I wasn't a Christian then, but that didn't matter to Arthur and Margaret. They just befriended me and met me where I was at. They didn't talk down to me. They didn't judge me. I had a lot of money problems with debt. And Arthur said to me one day, if these are ever going to get sorted, I need to open up to him and tell him everything. So I did. And Arthur rang all the companies that I owed money to, and I was able to get my payments reduced to an amount that I could manage. A bit later, Arthur said, was I tithing? I said, what's that? He said, you give 10% to the Lord before you spend it on anything else. I said, I can't afford to do this. And he said, Mary, you can't afford not to. And I didn't understand at the time, but I do now, that God is faithful to those who put him first. And then she goes on, and we've got CAP, of course, now, and Guild of Help, helping people with debt counselling, haven't we, and all of the finance stuff, which is, you know, ongoing, the legacy. I had no furniture in my flat at this time. Better put that in context. Her husband was not pleased that she'd begun as a result of Margaret and Arthur's input to come to church at Crawford Street, just around the corner. And he wasn't pleased. And one day when Mary got back from the meeting at Crawford Street, at the morning meeting, the flat was empty. And when I say empty, I mean empty. And all there was one cup, one saucer, one plate, one spoon. Her husband had gone and she never saw him again. So I'll just pick that one up again. I had no furniture in my flat at this time. Arthur took me to a second-hand shop and bought me a two-seater and a three-seater couch, loaded it onto the roof of his car, and with some help got it into my flat. They took me on holiday to Cornwall for a week and then home, and the day later, they took me to Scarborough for another week. I kept thinking, how much will all this cost? Will I get a bill with weekly payments? They took me to lots of Christian conventions and they provided everything. And this had been going on for a couple of years, and they were still inviting me to spend time with them and asking me to come and share meals and chat with them. They led me to the Lord in 1991, and I was baptised in Crawford Street. And they bought me a Bible, my first Bible, and they wrote these words inside. To our dear friend, may this precious book encourage and inspire you as you read, learn and digest all that the Father has for you. Love, Margaret and Arthur. Arthur spent more time with his head in the Bible than anybody I ever knew. He always had a pencil to write next to a verse, and he used to flick from page to page to see what else he could glean from it. And I used to mither him with all sorts of questions, and he was so wise. Arthur gave me away when I married David in 1999. And after we were married, at the ceremony, at Arthur's speech, he said, David, she's your responsibility now. I hope you can answer all her questions. And I remember that. I do actually remember that happening. Earlier, I began by saying that I just wanted to say a few things about what Arthur and Margaret did, but it is only a few of the things, because they gave up so much of their precious time talking and encouraging me. They're part of a life group that we have, and we really miss Arthur. Let me end, she says, by just saying how much love, real love, God's love, Arthur and Margaret poured into my life. I never knew a father's love. I never knew a mother's love. I never really knew what this love was or meant. That's emotional, isn't it? Anyway, Arthur and Margaret gave their together time up and invested their together time in showing me this love. And the list is endless of all they did and for me. And what I now know is, for the last 30 years, these two wonderful, amazing people never stopped, never changed, giving out this love. Arthur, I will miss you. Margaret, thank you. I love you, Mary. So Mary, you see, would never have been the person she became if it hadn't been for Arthur and Margaret, but the Lord working through Arthur and Margaret and their character that he had moulded within them earlier, and somebody no doubt helped them on their journey. And Mary became what she was because partly because of their time and their effort, because she was a long way from the Lord when they first met her. And if she hadn't been influenced by Arthur and Margaret, she would never have come to Crawford Street. I would never have met her. We would never have got married. And that would have been one less love story. So, now a few years after Mary was saved, in 1991, I was in Pastor Ian's house. Now, Pastor Ian, we bought the house off Pastor Ian, which is really quite ironic. So I'm sat in Pastor Ian's house and I'm doing the worship in the church at that point. And Ian's preparing for a special service, and we were talking about the worship and the music. And the front door opens and we're in the lounge, and this lady, who I didn't know, walks through with armfuls of ironing on hangers, disappears upstairs, hangs them up, comes back down, and Ian thinks he'd better tell me what's going on. So he said, "This is Mary. She does our ironing." And so I said, "Hello, Mary." And then I thought, I've been by myself for quite some years by this time. So I said to Mary, "I could do with somebody doing my ironing." And it was more of a joke, but you know Mary. She said, "I don't mind doing it, but you're not coming in my flat," because she'd absolutely had enough of men. Men were absolutely no, nothing. You know, "I'm no good at relationships. I'm not interested, not seeing you, but I'll do your ironing." So the arrangement was, get the basket, put the ironing in it, take it to Mary's flat, leave it on the landing outside her first floor at Harwood Vale Court, and disappear. At some point, she would pick it up, take it in, and she would do it, leave it back there, and at some point, I would pick it up, and we'd never meet. And that was the arrangement that went on for quite some time. And then at one point, I turned up, and she opened the door. I'm quite sure it was by accident. We just started chatting like you would if someone opens a door. You can't just sort of ignore each other. And we started talking, and then surprisingly, she said, "Do you want to come in for a drink of tea?" So I did, and that's the beginning of a long story. And I started talking, and over the years and the months, Mary started talking about her background, which was pretty awful. And, do you know, it had such an impact on me. Because she was abused and all sorts of things in her youth and in her childhood. And this was completely alien to me. I was brought up as a son of the manse, Methodist minister as a father, didn't have to struggle for anything. You know, life was okay. Went through school, got trained to be a teacher, started being a teacher. I was an okay sort of guy, I think. But I've never understood what people go through. I'd never understood mental health issues that are so deep in some people. I'd never understood how people can be treated so badly, because it never came across my path. And so how could I empathise with anybody if I didn't understand what they were going through? And as Mary began to talk, I think God used Mary and his spirit to mould me so that I became more sensitive, which I certainly am now, because that's how you feel, isn't it? But to want to encourage people on their journey, but to be able to understand that there but the grace of God go I, and you treat people properly, and you encourage them. So what was Mary like? Let's just change the tone. Well, the first thing you noticed about Mary, big blue eyes and a smile. And she was gentle, she was caring, she always did her best. And in spite of all of her multiple health issues, I can't ever remember ever once did she complain about anything. That's remarkable. She was positive. She was thankful to God. And surprisingly, even though she was poorly, people would come and visit her and go away feeling better. And people will say that's exactly what they felt like. And then she started, before she was ill, after we'd got married, she started doing crafts, which she hadn't done before because nobody had ever encouraged her to do anything other than look after other people. So she started doing craft, and it started with cards. She made cards, gave them to the pastoral team to give out to the older people like me when it was their birthday. So it was cards. Then she moved on to making things like little boxes and putting biscuits and tea bags and chocolates in and giving them away. And so you would have seen stuff that Mary did at Mother's Day, Father's Day, Baby Basics, CAP, Guild of Help, and all of that. And there are people who we never know, Mary never met, who treasure the things that they've been given, that Mary just made a little box with something because it showed that someone cared and that they were worth it. How lovely. Well, I'd like to think that because I knew Mary and Mary had that impact on me and the Lord worked on me, that people would feel better about being with me and not thank goodness I've managed to get away from him. You know, we all feel like that, don't we? Well, I'm getting near the end now, so let me just sum it up. When I was sorting through Mary's craft room upstairs, which I have to tell you, it was like sorting through Hobbycraft store. There was that much. And I had to find out what there was and what it did and what it was for and what these 800 files on the computer were and the designs that she did that I'm not capable of that she used to do. And I wanted to find out what was good that could be kept, what should be just thrown away, what could be used and what could be given. So as I was doing that, I started to work out how she made the boxes. I mean, I didn't take any interest in it really while she was doing it because that was her thing and I'm more music and tech. Give me a wire rather than a piece of paper. But that's what I did. I started working through it and I began to learn how to make these boxes so that perhaps I could teach somebody else and then they would be able to fly with their gift. And I'm going down to Somerset to some of my relations who have teenage children who are into craft. And I'll take a load of stuff and give them it and show them how to do techniques because I'm good at teaching. I'm just useless at visual stuff. You know, that's not my gift. And so I started looking through this stuff and I ended up making these boxes. And then the Lord sort of put something in my heart. He said, if you can make these boxes and you've got time to make these boxes and the need is still there, why don't you continue to make these boxes and give them to Guild of Help and give them to Baby Basics and fill them like Mary used to? Why would you not do that? Because the need is still there. So that's what I'm doing. I've just started to do that. So you could say that Mary may have gone to be with the Lord. Her boxes are alive and kicking. And they're still blessing and encouraging, and her memory is within our hearts forever. So I would say thank you, Margaret, and thank you, Arthur, for the deep impact on Mary's well-being and Christian walk. And thank you, Mary, for the deep impact that she had on my life and on the lives of others that knew her. And thank you, Jesus, for arranging it all and for using us imperfect people to help each other on the journey. And I'm going to just show you a couple of things just now that sort of sum up Mary. I talked about a smile. Going to come up on the screen. And if you were interested in it, I've got quite a lot of these, or quite a few of these, that if you want to take one, it's what's appearing. This would be Mary. This would sum Mary up. The smile on my face doesn't mean my life is perfect. It means I appreciate what I have and what God has blessed me with. And if you want these, I'll just leave them on the front at the end. And if you want one, just come and pick one up. And if you don't, I won't be at all offended. Some people would rather take a photograph on their phone than take a piece of paper. I understand that. And then the other one that summed up Mary, and I found this when I was working through her stuff, you know, where you find the pension papers and stuff like that. And this was important to her if it was in this place. So this, like the smile one, this was also very important to her. And it was written by a Swiss psychiatrist who worked in America with people in hospices. And she wrote this, and I don't think she's a Christian, but you can certainly put a Christian slant on this. So this is the second one. The most beautiful people we have known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and a deep loving concern. Beautiful people do not just happen. And I think that's Mary. So I'm just going to leave you with one saying. This is for us all. This is Mary. A happy marriage is growing separately without growing apart. So thank you.
That was so wonderful. Thank you, Dave. What legacy are we leaving? But thank you, Dave. I do, you know, Mary's not, how long is it now? Is it 4 months? 4 months since Mary passed. That's really brave, isn't it, that, to share that today. And we really appreciate that. I loved Mary massively. We miss our precious Mary every day. You know, and at Mary's funeral, I had the privilege of sharing a short tribute. And a lot of people said the same thing, actually, and I said it as well. And I said, I want to be more Mary. Because I loved her attributes and her kindness and all that. And she had so many qualities, didn't she? But I felt God really challenged me over the last few days when I was writing and preparing for today. And I felt God challenging me. And he was saying to me, no, I need you to be more like Anna. The Anna that actually I created you to be. You know, Philippians 2 verse 12 says it like this: work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And Ephesians 2 from verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared things for you to do. He prepared things for Arthur and Margaret to do, and they were living out their God-given life. He gave things, he's given us all our individual. I love how our salvations and our relationship with Jesus, it's individual. You know, God created us all uniquely with our own specific personalities, quirks, gifts and talents. And that's what we should be working out for ourselves, because so often we're so busy comparing and trying to be like other people, we miss out actually what God has got for us. You know, God had the best plan for Mary to use her gifts and talents. And I think of so many other people. The person that I am today because my mum has left her legacy on me. My mum is somebody that just forgives so easily. She's kind. She includes people. She doesn't judge. She's a connector. That's the legacy that she's left and impacted on me. I think of Julie Unsworth. I love the Julie Unsworth. I don't know that she's in at this service. Is she in? Give us a wave, Julie. I can't see you. Give me a wave. She's on the left. Hello, Julie. But Julie is such an encourager. She's somebody that doesn't appreciate actually how amazing that she is. And this week I've been doing the food at Alpha, and she left this little note for us, the Alpha team, and it says, Alpha team, you are incredible. Best ever. Thank you for all you do, and a love heart. Just on a napkin. Do you know what? I really needed that encouragement last week. This has been on my desk all week, Julie. I still can't see where you are, but this has been on my desk all week because I needed that encouragement this week. I've had a bad week, a couple of weeks, my cat died, different things like that's happened. And I needed that encouragement. You know, we just need to give whatever our little gift is to God, like Mary did, that simple yes, that simple obedience. And then it's amazing what God can do with that. You know, maybe you're stuck today and you're just thinking, what is it I'm meant to be doing? What are my gifts and talents? I have nothing to give. You know, maybe during our worship time now, we've left time so we can pray and encourage with you and stand with you to help you get unstuck. You know, maybe you're busy and you're stuck in that comparison trap, thinking, if only I was like them, if only I was like him, if only I was like her. But God has made you with your talents uniquely, and he wants you to give them back to him for his glory. You know, maybe you're in here and this really, you know, has been speaking to me, you know, how Mary, I spent a lot of time with Mary, and all those things that Dave said were true. Mary was a remarkable person, but she spoke to me several times about how skeptical she was of faith and about Jesus and about Christians. You know, maybe you're in here today and maybe doubts crept in. Maybe you are a Christian, but doubt and confusion's crept in and your faith is wavering. Maybe you're skeptical and you've not met Jesus yet. Maybe, you know, I would encourage you as Mary would, give Jesus a chance. I would love to introduce you to Jesus. My Jesus can be your Jesus. It's personal. If you want that, please come forward and we'll pray for you. But I just want to finish today with one of my favourite go-to verses, just to encourage you before we go back into worship. And it's this from Proverbs 3, from verse 5. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one that will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. We're good at that. Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Mary got sicker and sicker as the years went on, but she went more glowy and more glowy. That's not even a word, but she radiated Jesus. You spent time with her and Jesus. You knew you'd met with Jesus and Mary. You know, I want to be a person that leaves a legacy of Jesus. So as we worship today, maybe examine your own heart. Where are you up to? What are your gifts and talents? What do you need to work out in your salvation? Do you know him? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and all the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his grace and his glory. Amen.